Tech Talk with Jess Kelly.
Thanks to Vodafone Business. With cybersecurity solutions from Vodafone, your business can hack off the hackers. See vodafone.ie/business.
This is News Talk.
Yeah, you're very welcome along. Coming up over the next hour, we'll ask why has more not been done to embrace technology within our health service? Why are there cameras going into your bins? And as ever, I'll answer your tech questions. If you want to get in touch, you can do so right now. Drop me an email to techtalk@newstalk.com or you'll find me on Instagram at JessKellyNT. I just wanted to say thank you to everybody who got in touch last week after I mentioned my gardening. I have received so many links to different YouTube channels, different content creators on Instagram showing what to do in your garden. I have had a ball over the last few days going through them all. So please do keep them coming. I'm very excited for Bordbia Bloom even, which is taking place in the Phoenix Park in Dublin next weekend. I will be there walking through all of the glorious gardens and taking in as much inspiration as possible. And also then on Sunday of next weekend, I'll be doing the VHI Women's Mini Marathon in aid of News Talk's charity partner, the Dublin Rape Crisis Centre. We are so close to our target in terms of fundraising. We've raised €1,800 so far, and I am incredibly grateful to every single person who has donated. If you haven't yet, and if you have a fiver to spare, I would be so grateful if you consider donating it. You can head to idonate.ie/runfordrcc. And I promise I will stop talking about it soon. Anyway, you may remember on this very show, this time last year, I brought you a special program from Maynooth University. I was there for the Digital Health Summer School. We met some incredible clinicians, patients, and advocates for e-health. We heard about a pilot program that would see every citizen in this country having access to their medical history, cutting down on admin, paperwork, and lost appointments. Well, 12 months on, it took place again, and I'm delighted to say the man behind it all at Maynooth University, Martin Curley, is with me once again. Martin, it's always a pleasure to have you on the show. As I mentioned there, it's hard to believe it was a year ago since I was down at the summer school. I couldn't make it, unfortunately, this year. But from all I have seen, read and heard, it was a massive success. Can you just set out the stall and tell me what your mission for this year's summer school was?
Well, great. And it was wonderful to have you last year, Jess. And you gave a great talk about one of the things we were sharing at the conference around sort of, person or patient empowerment. And last year, you told a story about how you use the Irish Life Health My Life app to improve your health. So what we did this year, we've really built on last year's summer school. And our theme, what we launched was a strategic initiative called Mission 10X, which we hope everybody in Ireland will get involved in. And we already had many sort of leading clinicians and indeed patient associations involved. And yes, you've heard me talk before around stay left, shift left, 10X. And this is what we call a paradigm, a policy and a practice. And it's about totally flipping the health system, it could be more accurately called our illness or sick care system, on its head. And we really focus on wellness and early detection of disease and empowering patients and people to stay well. And the summer school was really about that, launching Mission 10X. And we call it a moonshot, like, you know, John F. Kennedy motivated the whole United States to put a man on the moon. Our moonshot in Ireland is to move from a lagging health system. We have amazing health workers, and most of them are really passionate and very skilled. But we're recognized as the absolute laggard in Europe in digital health. So we all can use our phone for banking or listening to music or shopping, but we can't do it for health. And right now, the health system revolves around hospitals rather than ourselves. So We launched this initiative, Mission 10X, to build a 10 times or 10x better health system that's gives 10 times better health. It's 10 times cheaper than what we're proposing for e-health in Ireland. It's 10 times better. We can build it 10 times quicker. And just we talk about four Copernican shifts. And just to remind your listeners, Copernicus, he was the person to figure out that the Earth revolved around the Sun rather than the Sun revolving around the Earth. And even though it's obvious to us, there was a huge amount of opposition to that at the time in the 1500s. In fact, it took 150 years for that idea to be adopted. And what we've been proposing, not just aspirationally, but with a lot of evidence from living labs in Ireland, is we flip the health system and we have what we call four Copernican shifts. The first is from illness to wellness. So we're spending 97% of our health budget on illness or restoring health from illness, and just 3% on wellness. And we believe if we shifted that to just 10% of the spend on wellness, we could have a dramatic improvement in health. And that would involve, for example, AI-assisted screenings in your pharmacy, your GP, or at a primary care center. The second shift is from analog to digital. So right now we've got really well-trained clinicians working with paper. We just have paper health records. Less than 10% of Irish hospitals have electronic health records. And in fact, we believe actually health should be in the home and community. And that's the third shift, which is from hospital to home. So we believe most of health should happen in the home or in the community. And we now have technologies, and we demonstrated these technologies where we can have like better what are called vital signs, like tracking your pulse rate and your respiration rate and your temperature in the home, than we have in most Irish hospitals. And the last shift, Copernican shift, is potentially the most important one, moving from paternalism to participation and partnership. So in the past, it used to be that the doctor knew best. And now it's moving to what we call co-production. So each individual works with their clinicians to co-produce their health and maximize their health. And we believe these four shifts, and they're all enabled by digital technology, and we demonstrated this working, and I'll tell you about that in a minute, can transform the health of everybody in Ireland and can also move Ireland from last in Europe, and we're very far last, to be first in the world in digital health systems and have some of the healthiest people on the planet.
Yeah, and every time I hear you, and we've spoken many times over the years, and I feel like you have always been clear and concise. And yes, this is a moonshot and it is a big ambition. But as you said, these are shifts that they're not, it's the world isn't going to fall down if we embrace these measures. Lives could be saved, money can be saved. And yet I find myself asking, why hasn't it already been done? When we look at how the HSE budget is allocated, how much currently is being allocated to technology and solutions like this versus what would be needed to get your vision to life?
It's a great question, Jess, and we'll get onto this in a second. But we actually demonstrated this whole system working, this in Maynooth, and somebody called the mother of all demos. So this isn't aspirational. We actually have it built, and what we're suggesting right now, and this is very much a partnership. Damian McAllen, who's the deputy CEO of the HSE, he said recently in the OLAS article that the problems in the health system just can't be solved within the health systems. And that's always a position I've held. And what I've been trying to do from Maynooth is drive what we call a guided, open, collaborative ecosystem, where we have many, many parties working together to drive the shift. But to get to the specific numbers, we think we can build a working, really robust prototype of this future system for about 10 million. So that would involve what we call a SPINE, a Secure Patient Information Network Exchange, and all the interactions with the pharmacists, with the hospitals, with the GPs. And we would run what's called a living lab for 1,000 people, and we would offer them sort of AI screenings in a pharmacy or in a GP setting. Or when they went to the GP, the interaction with the GP would be so much better. It would be artificial intelligence annotated. And by the time they leave the GP practice, they already have the report of the doctor on their phone. And we know most people forget many things, particularly important things, in encounters with clinicians. And we now have this working. So what we're suggesting, Jess, for 10 million, we could build a living lab for 1,000 people, old people, young people, middle-aged people, and we would show how this would work securely, safely, at scale. And we think we could do that in a year. And then we're proposing, if that's successful, 100 million to scale the basic infrastructure for the country. Now, that's just a fraction. It's at least 10x or 10 times cheaper than what is currently proposed by the current Department of Health and HSE plans. And we're actually not working in opposition to the HSE or Department of Health. Everything we do is fully aligned with Sláintecare. And what we're suggesting, we can leap ahead. And right now, the HSE's plan, according, they have a good digital care plan. It's a strategy, but it shows it'll be 2030 before the first electronic health record is put into an acute hospital, other than the five maternity hospitals that have one. And what we can say is actually, we can give everybody in Ireland access to the next generation digital health system for a tenth of that cost. And we could do it 10 times earlier. We can actually be finished across Ireland before the first acute electronic health record goes into to hospitals. And this only makes sense. So there's a really stark choice. And I've always said before, and people got offended, sometimes I said, look, the job of transforming the Irish healthcare system is too big to be left to the Department of Health and HSE. And we very many good people in there. But it's bigger than that. And what we're saying, we are proposing a moonshot. We call it Mission 10X, where everybody works together to develop a next generation health system that's 10 times better than what's proposed for 5 years' time. And we can do it for a tenth of the price. So the choice is build the next generation digital health system, primarily with Irish companies. We had 13 or 14 Irish companies working with us to actually build a mother of all demos, all supported by Enterprise Ireland. And we can deliver that capability. We want to give everybody access to their electronic health record on the phone, and that's linked with the spine. Or the other choice is we wait till the current plan, and there's nothing wrong with the strategy. But the problem is the plan. They're buying technology software that's 30 years old, or it started, obviously, it's being improved, and will only get us to where the rest of the developed world was 10 or 15 years ago. So I think there's a very stark choice, and I think people want to live longer. And we have evidence if you use these kind of technologies, a personal electronic health record where people are empowered to manage their own health, working with their clinicians, where we can do AI screenings, like in Ireland, cardiovascular is, the number one or two cause of death. We now have tools, and we demonstrated these in Maynooth. AI analysis of ECGs, electrocardiograms, or we had an AI stethoscope that could detect a heart murmur in the GP surgery. And previously, these are kind of tests that some cases there's 1 year to a year and a half waiting list to get either an ECG or an echo test. And now we can do them, in the GP pharmacy. In fact, we showed a video of Doreen Enright. She's in her mid-70s, and she told a story. Again, she spoke at her summer school last year, how she used a small device called a Cardia AliveCor and her Fitbit with her GP to diagnose quite a serious condition that the hospital consultants weren't able to find in a series of tests. And he would say, look, this saved their lives. And people say that older people can't use the technology, but Dorian's a wonderful example of an older person who uses these tools to enhance and manage your health. So we are proposing Mission 10X. It's a moonshot for the country. It's getting everybody to focus on a healthier Ireland and a better health system, better for all the inhabitants of Ireland and better for the clinicians. It's unfair for the clinicians. They're used, so many of our clinicians, spend time abroad and they use electronic health records. They come back here and they're working on paper systems. So that's what we're proposing. But we also produced the evidence. We actually showed it working, and we had many of the important stakeholders in the Irish, health and patient industry. We had Stephen McMahon, who's head of the Irish Patients Association. We had Dr. Dermot O'Shea, who's the president of the Royal College of Physicians of Ireland. We had Professor Michael Kerin, who's the incoming president of RCSI. We had the Secretary General of the Irish Pharmacy Union, with many leading clinicians, all actually participating and supporting this movement towards stay left, shift left, 10X. And just to remind you what that's about keeping people well in the first instance and early detection of disease. And it's about getting people home from hospital and using these digital technologies that are 10 times better, 10 times faster, 10 times cheaper.
Yeah, look, and I spoke about you. I referenced you 2 weeks ago when I was chatting to the CMO of Whoop when I was in Boston about their new medical grade device, which can identify trends in your health. It also gives you a health span age. So, as I said on the show, my health span age is 3 years older than my biological age. And since I've had that information, I have been working to sleep better, drink more water, move more, be more considered about my decisions. So I am, and as you referenced last earlier on as well, my use of the MyLife app, I am a living, breathing, walking, talking example of how technology can have a positive impact in somebody's health and well-being. And as you said, it's not an age-specific thing. I met Doreen last year. She is a fantastic advocate for the technology. But I keep coming back to the point of, if it makes so much sense, I don't know a single person who wouldn't be in favor of a better health system and keeping well people well for longer. So why isn't this just being set up and done as of yesterday?
Yeah, no, it's a really important question. And I would say the first thing is, historically there's been huge resistance to change in the healthcare system. But the leaders in the Irish health system might have heard the expression, nobody got fired for buying IBM. So they're all looking back and say, the NHS bought such a system and Denmark bought such a system. So that's what people are inclined to do because they want to stay, safe. But what's really needed is moral courage, collective moral courage. And Robert Kennedy, he very much inspires me. And he says that, moral courage is, a very rare commodity, and it's rarer than kind of bravery on the battlefield or great intelligence. But he says it's the one most vital ingredient needed to change a world that really finds change so painful. So this is about moral courage. The solution is hiding in plain sight. We demonstrated this in Maynooth last week, and we had doctors, we had nurses, we had patients, we had technologists all working together. So what we need is collective moral courage. And what we're suggesting, like we're spending 20 odd billion on health, and there's a tiny fraction of that required to actually build and implement this system. And what we're suggesting to the Department of Health and HSE and people like Robert Watt, he's an economist, he's a smart guy. We're proposing, look, take this as an option. This is a 10 million option to build a working system. So you're not taking a massive risk on the 20 odd billion. And if it doesn't work, then you let that option expire, to use financial terms. If it works, then you do what you strike that option and you build on it. So we're trying to make this really easy for the government to adopt. And it was terrific. We had Minister James Lawless attend. He spoke. He's the Minister for Higher Ed. And he spoke about how universities can really add big societal and economic value. We've Malcolm Byrne, who is the new chair of the Oireachtas AI Committee. We have a lot of political support, and we also have, some of the leading clinical associations, and we have Enterprise Ireland support. We have some absolutely, spectacular companies that we're working with. For example, Vox AI, we've embedded their technology into our spine. So now the clinician actually speaks using a voice interface to the spine, and they can say, oh, hi, Jess Kelly, I guess your age 33. We've just done an assessment. Your blood pressure was 120 over 80. That's very normal. We've assessed your metabolic age as 32. And all of that data automatically gets ingested into the spine. So we're not talking just some people, when they're marketing, they have a marketecture or vaporware. But we've built this, and it's real. We built it on open source software, but it's not cowboy software. It's actually certified by the U.S. Digital Health Agency, ONC. That's about the tenth of the price of, the three or four market leaders that are selling a QDHR. So this actually is a little bit about bravery and courage, and we're trying to make it really easy to say, well, let's spend a small amount. And the amount, the HSE have developed an app, and it's reasonable, Robert Watt described it as modest, but it costs 6 million.
Yeah.
And what we're saying, for a little bit more than that, say 10 million, we can actually build a system that's not 10 times better, maybe 40 times better, where everybody has a personal electronic health record on the phone. And you will sadly remember the case of Aoife Johnson, who died in UHL and her sepsis wasn't detected. We demonstrated this technology working on stage. We're working with David Tui and his company, Syncrify, a Galway-based company. And David took my vital signs, and that's something we're trying to get into every Irish hospital. But as soon as they were taken, the system automatically computed an early warning score. And then that data was sent directly into the spine. And then there we could have an AI agent detecting whether something was deteriorating. And they can detect it earlier than the nurses or the doctors on the ward. And we call this augmented intelligence rather than, the job. And, Dermot O'Shea, who's a, fantastic doctor, president of RCPI, and he's a consultant at Mullan Hospital in Donnybrook, he made the great point. This is about actually giving time back to the clinician. So this is such a win-win solution. So it just requires a little bit of imagination and courage. Why would we do what everybody else did? And, there's been lots of benefits for countries putting in electronic health records. But when we actually have a 10 times better solution built in Ireland that's 10 times cheaper, that we can deliver 10 times faster, and has enormous export potential. I know Enterprise Ireland, we're working very closely with them. They're very excited about the potential of this group of Irish companies creating something unique that then can be exported.
Well, look, I could talk to you for hours, and I'm going to have you back on the show in a few weeks' time, because I feel like that there's so much that we still need to delve into here. But the mission is incredible, and I think the transformational impact this could have, not only on the health service, but also the people of this country. And as you always say, keeping well people well for longer. It's just incredible, remarkable. And I hope we get to see this vision come to fruition and start bringing some of those positive impacts that you've just outlined for us. Martin, it's always a pleasure to talk to you. Congratulations on all of the success, and we will talk to you very soon.
Great. Thanks again, Jess.
Yeah, I would love to hear from you on this. If you're someone who has constant contact with the medical services for whatever reasons, would e-health and digital health services make a difference for you? Email me, techtalk@newstalk.com. Tell me about your experience. Tell me where improvements could be made. I genuinely, as somebody who's had quite a few family members interacting with the health service over the last number of years, it's a bugbear of mine, I'll be completely honest. But again, I'd love to hear your thoughts. Now, from healthcare to bins. After the break, we're going to find out why bin lorries now have cameras.
Tech Talk with Jess Kelly.
We're at war. We will find those who did it, and we'll bring them to justice.
Kofor Black, chief of counterterrorism, said, if you'll let me do it, I'll have flies walking on their eyeballs in 6 weeks.
That's what I'm talking about.
I was working with the representative from the FAA, trying to track some of the conspirators.
We knew this was Osama bin Laden.
We were going to war full out against bin Laden.
You had branches of Al-Qaeda everywhere. Bin Laden basically franchised himself.
They had a stronghold in Tora Bora. That's where the intelligence said that they had retreated to.
This is the time to come in with massive force and end this thing.
Bin Laden got away. Every one of them that escaped the country was a potential pilot to fly another airline into a building.
It became obsessive, and yet we were constantly insulted.
How could this guy still be out there?
It had been years since 9/11, and we had nothing.
And then here's this compound.
Oh my God, we may have found him. The president said, nobody else in our government is to know about this.
My team's going on the most important mission in modern history.
This is the moment when everything you've planned to get bin Laden is on the line in the next 20 minutes.
And that's when all hell broke loose.
Yeah, that is just a snippet from American Manhunt, Osama bin Laden from Netflix. That was my tech rec on The Hard Shoulder on Wednesday with Kieran Cudahy. I have an absolute fascination with 9/11. I think it was one of the biggest historical moments in my life. And it just it's just embedded in my brain. I'll never forget, it was on a Tuesday. I had just done my first Gaelic football training session at my new secondary school, Cloch Isagon. My dad collected me and was driving me home, and we had the radio on, and that's when I heard. And I remember watching the news on TV3 as it was back then and seeing those horrific images. And so over the last 20 odd years, I have read many books about 9/11. I've watched many documentaries, and this just jumped out. I watched it. It is definitely worth your time. So too is my favorite audiobook of all time. It's called The Only Plane in the Sky. I've mentioned it before, but if you have Audible tokens or credits, or if you have Spotify Premium and you want to listen to it, or indeed if you have the BorrowBox app from your library, search for The Only Plane in the Sky. It is a minute by minute account of 9/11 told from different perspectives. But the beauty of the audiobook is that each vantage point is voiced by a different actor, and it's one of the most compelling things I've ever heard. But as ever, I'm looking for some recommendations from you. So if you have something to read, watch or listen to, email me techtalk@newstalk.com. Elsewhere, I stumbled upon something that instantly made my heart happy, and that is a collaboration between a makeup brand and a gaming company. Charlotte Tilbury, who you may know, it's one of the most beloved makeup brands in the world, and it's also where I'd say about 60% of my salary goes every year. But they have done their first ever gaming collaboration with Genshin Impact. So this includes two limited edition beauty boxes. The first one is Starfell Treasure, and the other one is Starry Miracle Box. So if you are a fan of the Charlotte Tilbury brand, and indeed gaming, it is definitely worth checking it out. You can get them on charlottetilbury.com. But I love seeing beauty brands crossing over with the world of technology. It's almost like, you know, the two worlds can meet. Who'd have thunk it? It just made me happy. The boxes are beautiful. They have all of your favorite bits and pieces from the Charlotte Tilbury brand. And they would make a lovely gift. So if you have a nerdy person like me in your life who also loves a bit of Charlotte, that is the way to go. Another thing that jumped out, And this is as random as I get as a human being. But I received an email on Tuesday afternoon. I was sitting at home and I'm at a minute to six, an email popped in from my waste provider. So it was from Panda Recycling. I've been with Panda since I moved into, or we moved into our house in August of last year. And it said, "Dear Jessica Kelly, great news! Exclamation point. We've been working hard to develop a new process which will help you and us recycle better together in the coming weeks. This new process will be rolled out in your area as your chosen home recycling partner." Well, that's what they're called. It's a home recycling partner. "We are proud to continue working with you to do more for the environment and get the best results for the waste you generate. Working together, we'll help achieve sustainability goals, which all start at home. From June 3rd, we will be implementing a new system to support our cleaner bin campaign. Our collection vehicles will photograph and identify misplaced items within your bin." Now, me being me, my little antenna stood up instantly, because while I completely understand the point of this from an environmental point of view, I would have concerns from a data protection point of view. So again, Panda has done this on a pilot basis over the last wee while. They have the data to show that when people are told that the wrong thing's in the wrong bin, they take corrective measures. Obviously, that is good. But I had questions from a data protection point of view. So I contacted Panda on Wednesday asking three specific questions. And I want to bring you their replies. And I also want to hear your thoughts. Am I being over the top? Am I being a pedantic Pete? Or would you share my concerns? Okay, so the first question I asked was, can customers opt out of the contamination detection camera service? The answer I received was, the rationale for the service is to educate our customers about what materials go into which of the three bins. The service is provided for free of charge to customers, and there is no opt-out system. It is vital that everyone contributes to increasing Ireland's recycling rates, and we know from our trials that this service will significantly improve overall recycling rates. This program cannot be opted out from, as it's a requirement of our terms and our conditions and our waste management legislation, including our waste collection policy permit, to segregate bins, and we have an obligation to manage the education of our customers on that basis. Fair enough. So you can't opt out. If you are in an area where this is coming, it's coming. My next question was, can you please explain what happens to the photos that are captured? This was the big issue for me, because say, for example, you throw out bank statements, or you throw out medical prescriptions, or something that's of a sensitive nature, but you put it in the wrong bin, and a photograph is taken. Over time, a pretty comprehensive picture of a person could be made up based on their waste. So that was a big concern for me. And this is what Panda said. The photographs will be reviewed by a trained member of our picture review team, and any materials that seem to be in the wrong bin will be highlighted to the customer via email, together with comments advising which bin the material in question should have been placed in. We have completed a comprehensive privacy risk assessment and have standard operating procedures to manage this internal process. Now, that to me doesn't quite answer the question. There's no information there as to how long that information will be stored for. There's no real clarity as to who exactly the picture review teams are. Will they be using AI, for example? How long will it take the individuals to go through the photographs, and so on? Anyway, my third question was, is there a policy for the handling of sensitive information that may be found in bins? Their answer here was yes. We have a clear policy and a standard operating procedure which sets out how we deal with images of any sort of sensitive material. Our picture review staff have been trained not to send customer pictures containing any such sensitive materials, even if there is clear evidence of other incorrect waste material visible in the pictures. It's important to note that the image resolution is such that while the headline of a newspaper can just be made out, it is impossible to read normal sized text in the images. That means the content of bills, invoices, etc. are illegible. Now, I was on to the Data Protection Commission just to see if there was any validity to my concerns, and they have confirmed to me that they will be looking into this matter. But I guess I just want to get your view. Are you comfortable with waste management companies taking photographs of your rubbish and sending it to the person that pays the bill? So again, if you're not the person paying the bill, you're not the person getting the photographs, but your waste could still be sent via a photograph or a PDF to the person who does pay the bill. Is that something that we should allow to happen and be normalized? I don't know. Again, I completely get it from the environmental point of view. I think it's a like any initiative that can be rolled out to encourage people to recycle or be more mindful of the environment, it's definitely worth considering and teasing out. But I would just have concerns around personal privacy and data protection. But let me know what you think. Techtalk@newstalk.com is the email address. Right, when we come back here on News Talk, I'll answer your tech questions.
Tech Talk with Jess Kelly.
Right, let's get to your tech questions. As I said there, the email address, if you want to get in touch at any stage, is techtalk@newstalk.com. First up this week is an email from Anne, who says, "Hi Jess, I love, in capital letters, my iPhone 15. Oh, but I dropped it on gravel and got some really bad scratches on the screen. Apple Agent Select would replace it for €335. I would have sucked that up, but they wanted to keep my phone for 5 days. I took it to a mobile repair shop. They repaired it in a couple of hours for €300, but I'm not a bit happy. The screen doesn't have the same tone, and I'm getting a notification saying unknown part not recognized. Don't mind paying, but don't want to be without my phone. Can you suggest anything?" And, I mean, not an element of this is ideal, to put it mildly. A few points here. Firstly, I would go back to the shop that repaired your phone that you paid €300 for, because they, judging on what you've told me, I would assume they didn't use authorized genuine Apple parts, which is not great for the phone. And it also voids your warranty as well on your device if it is still under warranty. So I would go back and raise it with them and just see what they say. And then if they can't resolve it for you, I would go to the Select store. So Select is a premium Apple retailer here in Ireland, and they use authorized Apple parts. I think the reason why they'd need to keep it for 5 days is to send it off and get it done. I get that it's frustrating, but the iPhone 15 is still a relatively new phone, and it's not worth long-term damage to the phone by using an unauthorized part in the device. So I would go to Select or another outlet that does have the genuine Apple parts. In terms of being without your phone for 5 days, I don't know if you have an old phone lying around in a drawer somewhere, even if it's an old iPhone or an old Nokia, whatever it is, to get you through. Again, it's not ideal, but in the longer term, it will be better because your device will have authorized official parts in it, and it'll just enhance the longevity of your phone. So unfortunately, I don't have a magic wand for you, but I would definitely go back to the repair shop, and then if they can't help you, get on to Select. So I'm sorry, but there you go. Right, next up is an email from Matt, who says, "Good evening, Jess. Just wondered, have you ever reviewed a product called Remarkable? Listen to your spots on News Talk and will be very interested in your opinion. It's for somebody for Christmas who is a..." I won't read the rest of that because I don't want to give that away. Right, Matt. Yes, I know all about the Remarkable, but I've never personally used a Remarkable. I used, and I say used because I don't do it anymore, but for a long time I used an iPad Air 2, I think it was, and an Apple Pencil and an app called GoodNotes, and I loved it. I had contemplated getting the Remarkable and the Remarkable 2, which is the newer model. So for those who don't know, the Remarkable devices are, they look like tablets, so they look not a million miles away from an iPad or an Android tablet, but it has the e-ink screen, similar to what you'd see on a Kindle, and then a little digital pen. And the sole purpose of that device is to take notes on your device. It's not connected in any other way. It is simply designed for note taking. The handwriting recognition is excellent. It's very light, very portable. But I know a few of my friends and colleagues who bought them thinking that it will be very beneficial. But they found that because it's just a one-use device, they didn't pick it up as often as they thought they would. They still reverted back to whether it's a laptop or an Android or Apple tablet because of the multifunctionality, I suppose, of a tablet versus the Remarkable. So I personally, if it was me, if I had the money to choose between either a Remarkable 2 or the iPad with an Apple Pencil, I would go for the iPad and Apple Pencil. The app that I used again is called GoodNotes. It is great, but it just means you can use the iPad then for other things. So whether that is reading the newspapers, emails, social media, anything like that, they're just much more diverse and multi-purpose. So that would be my suggestion there. But if you've used a Remarkable and you think I'm wrong, again, the email is techtalk@newstalk.com. Right, our last question of today is from C. And C says, "Hi Jess, I'm looking for some of your expert advice." Fancy. "We are hoping to buy our daughter her first phone. She is a teenager. I'm interested in a Samsung/prepay. I've looked at Tesco and Three so far. I was looking at Samsung A25 and A15. I was just wondering if you could advise on what you think of these two phones or any other phones or any other information you might have that you think is best. She is our first child to get a phone." Okay, this is a huge moment in your house, and I understand and appreciate you taking the time to drop me an email and why you'd look for some guidance here. So a few things to say. I think you're dead right in terms of a Samsung or an Android phone, because I think, as I've mentioned here before, Google Family Link is an excellent thing to set up before you buy the phone for your teenager. So you set that up associated with your Gmail account, and then when you get a phone, associate that with the Google Family Link. And that way you'll have eyes on. You won't be able to see the content on the phone, but you'll be able to put some parameters in place to help keep her safe online. In terms of the devices, the Samsung A25, which is on your list, is an excellent phone, particularly a starter phone for a teenager. It has a great camera, brilliant battery life, gorgeous screen, and it also looks really nice, which I know matters too. So the Samsung A25 is definitely the way to go. When it comes to prepay, what I would actually suggest is that you look at one of the digital mobile networks instead. And the reason I say that is it eliminates the need to top up credit, etc., throughout the month. So I remember when I was a teenager, you top up by 20 quid a month and then your credit would run out and you wouldn't be able to make calls or texts or whatever. Now, obviously, you've got unlimited calls and texts in a lot of the plans. But in general, I just think moving away from pay-as-you-go, signing up to one of the digital mobile networks, which is just a monthly direct debit. You can cancel it at any stage. There's no big commitments, but there's also no sneaky fees and there's no fear of, you know, eating up the data or anything like that. So you've got the likes of GOMO, which runs on the Air network. You have 48, which runs on the Three network. Tesco Mobile is absolutely an option. You also have Clear Mobile, which runs on the Vodafone network. There are so many different players. Personally, I have found GOMO to be excellent. It's 15 quid a month. And as I said, it comes out as a direct debit and it's just one less thing to think about. So that would be my recommendation. The Samsung A25, GOMO, and sign up for Google Family Link. I would also try and instill, you know, conversations with your teenager about their phone use as well. If you're a regular listener to the show, you'll know that we've had Alex Cooney from CyberSafe Kids on the program so many times talking about how to instill healthy habits when it comes to technology. Technology isn't the devil. It's not a demon. It's not the enemy. We just need to ensure that we're approaching it correctly with our young people. So by setting up Google Family Link, you will be able to knock off access to certain apps at certain times if you so wish. You'll be able to set screen time limits. You'll also just be able to instigate conversations. So if there's a certain app that your child wants to put on the phone, you can have a conversation with them about why they want to use that app, and not in an interrogation or anything like that, but just in a conversational way, and make sure that you are involved in their use of technology over time. So I do hope that helps. It's definitely worth checking out cybersafekids.ie. The ispcc.ie is also an excellent resource. They have parental portals that will just give you some tips and tricks when it comes to navigating your child's first phone. So I definitely think if you have a bit of time, sit down, go through, and hopefully it will help. Right, that is it from me this week. If you missed any of the show, you can listen back in full on the News Talk app powered by Go Loud. I'll be back with Shane and Kira on Monday's News Talk Breakfast. But in the meantime, have a great weekend.